Our Father in heaven, we continue our worship and our praise of your name. And we ask, Father, just as you have provided the body of your Son as sacrificed for our sins, and as we have taken in ourselves his flesh and his blood, may we also take in the words of your scriptures. You feed us, body, heart, mind, and soul. And I pray, Father, that today we will be so filled with you that this week will be a time in which you will shine in our lives, in which Jesus will be seen clearly for others. Father, I am a man with unclean lips, and I ask that you forgive me. I ask that you sanctify me so that I may speak your word. And I pray, Father, that we find your grace, that we are filled with your strength, so that we may all be faithful to your purposes. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In John chapter 5, we find the witnesses that Jesus calls to his identity as the Son of God. And we saw what John the Baptist said about him. We saw how the signs and the miracles spoke to his name. We saw the words of the Father himself. And today we're going to see the next witness that Jesus calls in John chapter 5, verse 39. Jesus says, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive glory from people, but I know that you do not have the love of God within you. I have come in my Father's name and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God?" So Jesus points to this witness that speaks truthfully about who he is. And he talks to God's people and he says, look, you have your scriptures. You have, and again, we got to remember, they would have their scrolls. They would have had their Old Testament scriptures. He says, you are going through and spending your lives and your time pouring through the scriptures because you think that in them lives eternal life. And it's almost as if Jesus says, you tried real hard, but bless your hearts, you missed the point. Because it is those scriptures that point to Jesus. And so Jesus says, look, if you're going to read your Bible, you need to understand what you're looking for. And this is going to translate really well for us today. Because not only was Israel really good at reading God's word and doing some misguided things with it, but they had become well-versed in missing the point. And church, you and I are faced with this same temptation. You and I are faced with this same stumbling block of not reading the Bible for God's purposes. Now, we're Bible readers. We know what it says. Jerry mentions the story of Passover. We know Passover, right? Oh, I know that story. I know what God was doing there. I know what God was trying to accomplish there. And we read in the Gospels in John chapter 5, and we know the story. We know what Jesus is saying there. We know what God is doing there. And Jesus says, you keep going back to the Bible because you think in the Bible you'll find life. And Jesus says, the Bible is pointing you to me. And it is in Jesus that we find life. So, today is going to be a lesson in making sure that we are reading for the right thing. For the right thing. Unfortunately, the book, the scrolls, the leather bound, unfortunately, sometimes, the digital copies that you're all staring at, sometimes we find solace and comfort in how easy we can interact with the scriptures rather than with the Lord himself. And so we stumble and settle for something that is pointing to God rather than God himself. We stumble over the signpost. We are traveling on our journey and we see the sign of wherever we're going and it says, Lubbock, Texas, 15 miles. Oh, good enough. Let's stop here. There's a sign. It says Lubbock. We're going to Lubbock. Might as well stop here. And unfortunately, so many people that have God's scriptures, and this is throughout history and all the way into us, present day, that we get the sign and we stop with the sign, not reaching our destination. And Jesus says, that's your problem. That's your problem. Your problem is not that you're not reading the Bible, you're reading the Bible. The problem is that you're not getting the point of what the Bible is all about. And Jesus says, the Bible is my story. It is pointing you to me, and it always has. So I want us to look at a couple Old Testament scriptures, some things that Jesus would have been referring to find life. And the first one we go to is in Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. We're just going to hit a couple of these. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, God gives Israel a sign. He gives them a sign. Now, Ahaz didn't ask for a sign. You'll remember Isaiah goes to Ahaz, and the king says, well, Lord, God says, hey, ask for a sign. It can be as low as hell, as high as heaven. You ask, and I'm going to show you something. And Ahaz says, no, far be it from me. I wouldn't dare ask for a sign. God's like, really? I just told you to ask for a sign, and now you're going to not ask for a sign? He said, well, I'm going to give you a sign anyway. You know these nations that you're fighting with, that you're afraid of, that you're looking at and going, ooh, they're so big and scary. Something's going to happen, and when that something happens, these fears, they won't even be around anymore. These nations that you're so scared of, they won't even exist. It won't even be a thing. And then we come to the verse that we know. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. It says, here's your sign. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the boy knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land whose two kings you dread will be deserted. So, again, this is a sign because Israel is going through a difficult time, much like we go through in our lives. And they're worried about this enemy that's right here at the doorstep. And God says, hey, I'm going to give you a sign. A virgin is going to have a baby. That means something spectacular is going to happen. I'm going to have to do something amazing to get that baby here. But before that baby shows up, all of these problems that you're worried about are going to be gone. Now, you may look at that and go, well, what does that help with? They still have the enemy at the doorstep, right? They still have these nations that are trying to destroy them. Well, God has always worked by faith, has he not? He's always said, here's my promise, and I need you to trust me. And you and I today, we find ourselves in the same situation. Because God has said, hey, you believe Jesus. You've put your faith in him. Your sins are forgiven. You have been exalted, and you live, and you exist, and you find your whole being, and you rule with Jesus Christ on his throne in heaven. And you and I look around and go, oh, but what about these warring nations? What about all these problems that we see right in front of us? And God says, well, my answer is heaven. My answer is, I'm going to take care of that. And again, it's a wonderful lesson, because just like those who were standing in opposition to Jesus in John chapter 5, there are those who are standing in opposition to us today. There are those who live in darkness and want to stand against the light. And God says, trust me. I've said it. It's going to happen. So Jesus says, these scriptures point to me. The virgin birth, his name Emmanuel, that's Jesus. He says, if you knew your Bible, if you were looking for the right things, you would recognize me. And then we'll stay in Isaiah, but we'll go ahead to chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Now, you know this one as well. Isaiah chapter 53 describes Jesus' death. So chapter 7 describes his birth. Chapter 53 describes his death. Now those that Jesus were talking to at the time, they wouldn't have seen the fulfillment of these scriptures, but they would have these scriptures. And they could look at these scriptures and go, wait a minute, who is this innocent one that was pierced for our sins? We can look back at the Gospels and say, oh, that's the story of Jesus. That's what he went through. That's what he experienced. He was lied about, accused falsely, had an illegal trial, found guilty of nothing, and yet hated and put to death by God's people. God sends his son to redeem his people, and his people said, nope. We don't want the thing because we've got our scriptures. We don't want the reality, God, of what you are offering because we are happy with what we have. It's a dangerous place to be. It's a dangerous place to be to not draw near to God because you are satisfied with God's book. And that is Jesus' indictment of the people who are hearing him. You have God's book, and you read God's book, and you think that eternal life is found in God's book, but you're not finding eternal life. You don't know what you're looking for, and you're looking at the wrong thing. That's a scary thing for us to hear, because, I mean, what have we been told our entire lives? Give me the Bible. Read your Bible. Know the Bible. Spend time in the Bible. Every single day, be in the Word of God. Absolutely. But know what you're there for. Why are you reading your Bible? Why are you spending time there? Why are you trying to learn about God? In Micah chapter 5, so Isaiah talks about the birth and the death of Jesus. In Micah chapter 5, gives us some more signposts. And let's see, Micah, go a little bit later in your Old Testament. Boom, 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 boom. We'll give you this. Your digital version's faster, isn't it? Micah chapter 5. Verse 2. But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days. So here in Micah chapter 5, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. Again, search the scriptures, you know that's where Jesus was born. But he is coming from ancient days, meaning he is eternal. So the eternal one, the one who is going to rule over God's people is going to be born in Bethlehem. And this is what Jesus is talking about when he says, you keep going back to the Bible, but you should have got it. You should have got it. And you think about all the people that Jesus talked to, and everyone said, okay, wait a minute. This is Mary's son. This is Joseph's son. We know him. We know all the details about him. This can't be the one sent by God. And Jesus is saying, yes, I am the one sent by God. I am God's way of reaching out to you. And again, for some of us, we've been believers for so long, you don't have to hit us over the head with the gospel, right? We know it, we love it, we live it, we believe it. And yet sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we're so close, we completely miss it. And that is exactly what God's people had done and where they are in this situation. They were so close, they couldn't even see it. Jesus said, here I am. I am God's son. And they look at him and go, well, it can't be. You can't be God's son. And again, this is why we're looking at the list of witnesses. Jesus says, yeah, John told you. My miracles told you. The Father himself told you. Read your Bible. Your Bible tells you so. He says, look at all these things. I'm telling you the truth. I'm trying to let you know that this is how God is bringing life. So, the scriptures point to Jesus. They tell us that he is the Son of God. They tell us that he has come from God. And so we, you and I today, we look at the scriptures. We look at the scriptures in the Old Testament before the life of Jesus. We look at the scriptures of the Gospels to learn about the life of Jesus when he's in the flesh. And then we look at the scriptures after the Gospels to see about what happened after the resurrection from the dead. But when we read the scriptures, when we search the scriptures, it must never be to replace Jesus. It must always be our sign pointing us to the reality itself. Ben read for us in 2 Timothy chapter 3. The Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, and Paul says, all scripture is breathed out by God. It's from God. God gave it. God spoke. It was written down. This is God's word. Okay? And all of it has the same source and the same purpose. So, some of us, I don't know about you, but some of us may come from a tradition that, some of us have come from a tradition where, yeah, we don't really need the Old Testament. That's not for us. Or, some of us come from a tradition of, the letters, everything after Acts can't really be trusted, that's not for us. That was to a specific group of believers and they had their own problems and it wasn't addressed to me, so I can leave that part out. And throughout time, throughout history, people have done a wonderful, people have done a shameful job of taking the scriptures and just going, okay, well, let's have some of this and maybe let's have some of that, but we don't want any of that. And we certainly want to avoid all of that. And all of it, Paul says here in Timothy, all of it is from God. It's God's story. It's complete. It's all there. It's all there. And we saw in 2 Timothy chapter 3, I wanted us to see two things. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, the first one is in verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. And how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. The scriptures help us to be wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So what am I supposed to know? What am I supposed to get when I study the Bible? What does knowing your Bible mean? Well, if you want to be wise in the scriptures, it's all about your faith in Christ Jesus for the salvation of your souls. Anybody in here saved? I was hoping for a higher percentage, but okay, all right. Those that are saved have put their faith in Christ Jesus for their salvation, you have the wisdom of the Scriptures. You have the wisdom of the Scriptures. That's the point. Okay? Now, verse 17, so I got the Scriptures gave me the wisdom, brought me to salvation. And then he says in verse 17, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So the wisdom of the Scriptures allow me to put my faith in Christ Jesus for the salvation of my soul, to find eternal life. That's what Jesus said. You're searching the Scriptures, looking for eternal life. Guess what? I'm it. And so Paul here says, he echoes the same thing, which again, when we see Scriptures backing each other up and supporting each other, all of it's from God. That's not a coincidence. Old Testament pointing to Jesus, the life of Jesus, and then after Jesus pointing back to Jesus. It's all the same story. Okay? So Paul here says, we have the wisdom that saved our souls, and now the Scriptures equip us to do good. We're saved. Great. So why are you reading your Bible? Is it so that I can quote it? Well, Paul says you're reading your Bible to get you ready to do good things. So why are you reading your Bible? Am I memorizing that Bible verse? So, hey, look at all the Bible verses that I can memorize. Or are you reading the Bible so that no matter what you face in your life, no matter who you talk to, no matter what situation you are in, you know the good thing to do in that situation? I am studying the Bible so that I am changed into good so that I know what to do. I want to be ready for everything. I don't want to be unequipped. I don't want to walk into, I mean, isn't that embarrassing to walk into a situation that you do not know what you're doing? Right? It's embarrassing, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. It's like if Cassie got taken out of her classroom and they said, hey, Cassie, hey, need a favor. We're in a jam and, you know, you've got a teacher's aide, and so they're going to cover for you, but what I need you to do is I need you to run over to the high school and I need you to teach this trigonometry class today. Cassie, what was your reaction?
I would say I am not doing that.
I am not prepared for that, right? Why? Because she didn't study a lot of trigonometry in her preparation. She'd be put in a situation and she's like, yeah, I don't know what the good to do. Now, her students would enjoy that because the good to do that day would probably be a movie or something. So everyone else would benefit from her lack of preparedness. But Paul says, look, we are getting into the Scriptures so that we know the good to do in every situation. And again, sometimes life feels... Cassie, help me out. Grade and subject?
Fourth grade, writing, social studies.
Okay, so sometimes life feels like a senior trigonometry class when you were prepared for fourth grade social studies, right? And we get in those situations and we're like, I don't know. I don't know what to do here. I don't know how to deal with this. I mean, how many of us as parents, when you're a parent, the first time your kid encounter something that you have not experienced, that's the first time, right? Yeah, you're just like, I don't know what to do here. I'm not prepared for that. Paul says we're studying, we already have the wisdom, we're saved. We have the wisdom, now we are being equipped so that we can do good in every situation. That's why we have the Scriptures. That's why you and I, who are saved, we've put our faith in Jesus, okay? I'm not studying, so how do I become a Christian? No, I'm studying so that I know the good thing to do in every situation. Well, here's a new situation. That's okay. Well, I've never faced that situation. Okay, what does God's Word say about that? What does God's Word speak to that? How would Jesus handle that situation? Jesus met people all the time. They were all different. He had different things going on. I mean, some people needed food. Some people needed healing. Some people needed to be included. And wherever Jesus went, He always knew the right thing to do and the right thing to say. And Paul says, hey, guess what? You and I that have the scriptures, every situation we're in, we can know the right thing to do and the right thing to say. That's why we have it. That's why we have it. So it is rather important. It is rather important. Now, we get from Timothy, the Bible points us to Jesus, what to know to be saved, and how to live. And in Hebrews chapter 1, and you guys are all familiar with the scriptures, so this will not come as a surprise to you. In Hebrews chapter 1, this starts out and it says, hey, look, God's had a lot to say over the years. And he's delivered it in different ways, right? And so Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1 says, long ago at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. So God has always had people sharing his word and sharing his message. But in verse 2 it says, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his son. Now, you ever heard anybody say recently, ooh, we are in the last days? We are. Okay? It's not because the news from Monday or Tuesday was worse than last month. It's not because, you know, whatever you follow, whether it's current events or political jargon or, you know, whatever it is that you're surrounding yourself with or just being around people. It's not because things are somehow, in our interpretation, more evil or more dark or just whatever than in times past. We are in the last days. From Jesus coming to Jesus appearing, we're in the last days. That's why everything that we've been given in the scriptures of, hey, you need to live like it's the last days, because guess what? It is. The whole thief in the night thing, it's going to be a surprise. When Jesus comes back, when Jesus came the first time, they had the signs, right? Here's where he's going to come from. Here's how he's going to be born. Here's how he's going to live. Here's how he's going to die. And everybody could look at that and go, oh, I have my Bible. Well, what did Jesus say about coming back? He says, hey, when I come back, it's going to look like this. Again, you and I need to know the scriptures to see the signs. Unfortunately, some people are not real good at signpost reading. But he says, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. God has given us the final word, full authority from creation to his second appearing. It's all for Jesus. It was made through him. It was made for him. He rules over all of it. And again, church, as those of us who know the scriptures and are convinced that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus died for our sins, that we know the story and we have put our faith and our hope in the story, that we are saved from our sins, from what Jesus has done. We know that everything that God said is true. It doesn't matter if the details have already happened. It doesn't matter if the details are happening today. And it doesn't matter if we're waiting for the details. God is true. And that's what Jesus is trying to do back in John chapter 5. You have to believe this. If you don't believe this, you're not going to receive the benefit. Now, back to John chapter 5. Because in this specific witness of the scriptures, Jesus makes another interesting point. In verse 43, he says, I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. Now, this is powerful and amazing and just real tricky, right? Think about the people that you trust. Just think about the talking heads, the people on TV, the news, the newspaper, the radio, your parents, Yeah, quit giving me that look. You guys trust non-authorities every single day. Don't act like I'm being crazy. You trust what people say. Anybody watch the weather? Oh, yeah. And the rest of you are lying. Well, no one told me what the... Whatever, the app on your phone did. However you get it, you've been lied to again and again and again, and yet you will still go and say, hey, is there a chance of rain this afternoon? Well, I don't know. Let me look. And where do you look? Someone comes in their own name with their own authority, you will believe them like that. Someone reports a news story and you'll read it. Well, no. They're telling the truth. They're honest. They're the good ones. I can trust them. You and I judge this all the time. You and I judge sources. You can't function in life without judging sources. Okay? So Jesus says, look, someone comes along and they just say, hey, this is how things are going to work. And you trust them. You believe them. You listen to them. He says, I come from God and you're not listening to me. Now, this is a dichotomy that you and I, this makes us uneasy in our hearts. Because anyone comes along and says, hey, I come from this church, listen to me. Oh, okay. And if someone says, hey, I have a message from the Lord for you today. Who's he think he is? Right? Whoa. You're coming in the authority of the Lord? I don't think so. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. We have that natural built-in defense. It's a good one, but we got that. And so Jesus says, look, someone else comes along and they preach a message. And you're like, okay, that sounds good. That sounds like it fits in with the scriptures. And Jesus said, I'm coming straight from the Father and you're not even listening to me. I am coming from the Father, showing you in my life that I am the fulfillment of what God is doing. It's right in front of your eyes, and you don't even believe it. That's a problem. That's a problem. Church, what does this mean for you and I? Honestly, it means that if God's doing something right in front of our eyes, and we don't recognize it, that's a problem. That's a problem. So he says, verse 44, how can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? Seek the glory that comes from God. Be approved by God and not others. All right, so there's a lot of that. What does this mean for me today? Church, you've got to read your Bible to know God. That's why you do it. So that you know Him. So that you recognize Him. All right? You've already put your faith in Him for salvation. You've read enough to know, I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. And Jesus died for me and I put my faith in that death and I'm trusting that for my salvation. Fantastic. Okay, so can I put my Bible up now? No. No, because you need to be ready for whatever comes in your life so that you can do good. Well, how do I know what good to do? Read your Bible. Because it equips you, it gets you ready. For every good work. For every good situation, whether it's good or bad. So I'm reading my Bible, and I'm going to go forward in John 17. And I'll finish with this. John 17. John 17:1, when Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you have given me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. This is how God gives eternal life. Jesus said it right there. This is eternal life. that they know you and that they know me. That's it. That's what Jesus has come to say and to do. God wants to save his people. Here's how he's doing it. I was hit this morning by Jerry's recollection of the Passover. And I thought, what a story that God would allow a lamb to die and blood to be shed, and the sign of that lamb's blood was what the Father looked for. And God was willing to destroy all of his enemies and disrupt every household and save his protected people. That whole thing seems kind of like a sign pointing us to something, does it not? Yeah. Jesus said, "This is eternal life, that they know you and the Son whom you have sent. If you have the Son, you have life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life. If you don't have the protection of the blood, there's going to be death. There's going to be pain. There's going to be wailing, weeping, and gnashing of teeth." That's why we read the scriptures. We read them for the right reason. We read them for the right purposes. Not to become just, you know, super smart. Not to just, pew, pew, pew. I can out argue anybody. Let's have a theological discussion, which turns into a theological debate. We're given the scriptures so that we may be saved. We're given the scriptures so that we know the good to do. So when we're reading our Bible, it's so that we can be good. So be good. Be good. Don't just read it and go, "Wow, I really got a lot out of that." Fantastic. Did anyone else get something out of your Bible reading? Did someone else benefit from what you studied about the life of Jesus? Because it seems to me like that's kind of the point. If I'm the only one edified by my Bible study, I'm doing it wrong. My Bible study is for the edification and the blessing of others. Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. All right, so this morning, if you find yourself in the situation that you have not read the Bible and been convinced and come to faith in Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul, we invite you to respond, to come, and to be born again, and to be covered in the blood of Jesus, to be baptized and washed clean, and to be saved. And if you are saved, you go out this week and you read the scriptures and know that the whole story, well, it's the story of Jesus. It's all from God. And you and I are reading for the purpose of blessing other people. That's why we do it. We've been blessed. We've been saved. Now we study so we know how to be a blessing to others. So if you need to respond, now's your chance.